Hey, it's Matt Bowles. If you want to hang out with me in person, I'm going to be at the Latino Travel Fest in Elizabeth, New Jersey, May 31st to June 2nd. And I've got a 15% discount for you to join me. Just go to themaverickshow.com/Latino. That's L-A-T-I-N-O. There you're going to see your 15% discounted ticket. There are going to be multiple guests from The Maverick Show attending, so you'll be able to hang out with all of us in person. You do not need to be Latino in order to attend. Everyone is welcome. Again, get your discounted ticket at themaverickshow.com/Latino. And as soon as you do, send me a DM on Instagram at Matt Bowles Maverick. Let me know that you're coming so that we can make plans to link up in person. And now, here's a clip of what's coming up on today's episode.
For our daughter, what it has really given her, I just feel she's just going to have this love for life because she's going to look back and we're just creating the coolest baby book for her. And she's going to look back and just go, wow, my parents were wild. They did all this with me while I was a toddler. This is crazy. But I just love how much fun she's having on our travels and all the things that she's seeing. And at the end of the day, though, my goal is I just want to teach her to be kind and to care for people. And I hope that what she sees in our travels and how many people have helped us and have just cared for us simply because we're human beings too, that she will take that with her for the rest of her life and really always put humanity first. So that's what I hope we aim to teach her in our travels.
This is The Maverick Show, where you'll meet today's most interesting location-independent entrepreneurs and world travelers, and learn the strategies and tactics they use to succeed. And now, here's your host, Matt Bowles.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Bowles. Welcome to The Maverick Show. I just want to start off by letting you know that I have put together for you what I consider to be the 7 keys to building a location-independent business, even in a space that is not traditionally virtual. Now, my company, Maverick Investor Group, is a U.S. real estate brokerage that helps people to buy cash flowing rental properties in the best U.S. markets from anywhere. And when I told people that I was co-founding that business back in 2007, they told me I was crazy because a real estate brokerage is not a traditionally virtual business category. But fast forward today, I have run that business from 65 different countries and 100% of our staff is fully remote. And since then, I have been asked to speak around the world at Nomad conferences about how to do this. And now I have distilled it down for you to the 7 keys of building a location independent business. And you can get that at themaverickshow.com/keys. This is completely free. It's just going to ask you to enter your email address, which will put you on the Maverick Show's Monday Minute email newsletter if you're not already subscribed. And then you can check it out. It's waiting there for you now. themaverickshow.com/KEYS. And now let's get into the episode. My guest today is Kara Celeste West. She is better known as the Digital Nomad Mom on social media, where she has nearly 300,000 followers. She is a family travel creator and lifestyle blogger focused on helping her community live and travel abroad. Kara and her husband sold everything to become a world schooling family in 2023 and now travel the world full-time with their 2-year-old daughter. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited to have you here. Let's just start off though by setting the scene and talking about where we are recording from today. Unfortunately, we are not in person. I am actually in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, on the East Coast of the United States today. And where are you?
We are actually visiting some family and friends in Austin right now. So it's been really lovely.
I have to say, I have not spent a huge amount of time in Austin, Texas, but the time that I have spent there was incredible. The last time I was there, I was in town for the South by Southwest conference in 2019, and it just blew my mind.
Oh, I know. Austin's grown a lot. I moved to Austin almost 10 years ago, and I honestly miss those rent prices.
Well, for people that have never been to Austin, if folks wanted to visit Austin, what would you put them onto at this point? What would you recommend about Austin?
I think that one of the best things about Austin is the food. Like, the food scene here is incredible. And there's just so many places to go to. But my absolute favorite places are actually on the east side of Austin. I feel like the east side of Austin still has the Austin charm, like before all the Californians, including myself, moved Austin. So there's so many just really cool mom and pop places still. It's really trendy, but also still has that kind of Austin grunge feel to it. So I love the Austin East Side.
Well, talk a little bit about where you grew up. I know you lived in a couple of different places, as did I growing up, but talk a little bit about your journey growing up. And when you think back as you were growing up, how did your initial interest in world travel start to develop?
So I was born in Houston, but I grew up in California. And I think one of the things that was really cool about growing up in California is it's just such a diverse state. And I just had friends from all different nationalities and ethnicities. And I had one friend in particular who I met in middle school, and we were really good friends in high school. And her parents, actually, her mom was Hispanic and her dad was from India, and they traveled a lot. So when they weren't in school, they traveled. And we actually had a track system because there were so many kids in schools that they really needed to figure out how to like disperse the population over the years. So we had year-round schools. But what I loved about year-round school actually was that it allowed families to travel during the off-peak seasons. They did a lot of travel because of that. And they would tell me about them going to Mexico or going to Europe. And my family was not financially stable like that at the time. And I would always just like beg my parents, like, I just want to go. I just want to travel. And that was just something that I just saw just how kind that they were. And I just feel it was because they were just exposed to just so many different cultures and traditions and just different people and ways of thinking. And they were just one of the kindest, both her and her brother, they were just so kind. And I just knew that when I had kids, I really wanted to teach my kids through learning through travel.
That's amazing that you had that vision for doing that with kids before you had kids that early on. So can you talk a little bit about the rest of your trajectory? Obviously, you've now made that a reality, but talk a little bit about just your career trajectory and your family life before you made this leap. What was that path like?
So my husband and I, when we met, I really wanted to travel, but both of us were just like not in a financial position at all to travel. I mean, my husband was glad if his car made it to work every day. Like, that's where we were financially. So we worked hard, and around 2020, I mean, everybody just reevaluated life, right? And I just got a remote job back in 2019. And I was so excited because this was going to allow us to start traveling more. And we took our first trip to Hawaii, we got engaged, and we came back literally the week after we got back. The entire world shut down. So like, it was the perfect time to have taken that trip because we wouldn't have done it otherwise. So we ended up thinking about like, well, what do we want our life to look like? And we were paying all this money for this beautiful apartment in a really popular area of Austin. And we were like, we can't go anywhere. We can't. We're just in this box. We're paying for a box. So we had this idea of actually converting a van. Originally, we wanted to do an RV, but we couldn't get a loan for an RV. We thought about a tiny house, couldn't get a loan for a tiny house because a tiny home and an RV is priced at like 15-20%. And it's also looked at as like a luxury purchase and not as like you wanting to use it as your home. So because we didn't have any assets to sell to basically buy it like a home, we were like, okay, what can we do? So we were watching all of these YouTube videos. We saw this couple who had converted a Ford Transit Connect, which is the much smaller version of the big Ford Transits that you see. And so we were like, okay, like we could make this into a mini camper. So we did that, converted it. It took us like 2 months to convert it out. And then we used it one time and found out we were pregnant. And we only had 2 seats in that. So we couldn't use it. So there was that dream. But after we sold it, we got a little bit of a profit from it because we basically had flipped the van into being a cargo van to this beautiful mini camper. And so we ended up taking that money and put it towards our getting out of our debt. And we ended up getting this incredible opportunity after having our daughter to go to Portugal and partner with a company called Boundless Life. And we went out there and we created content for them for their program. And it was life-changing because after spending 3 months in a different country, we thought, wow, life is so different and we want to keep doing this. This is everything that we've ever dreamed of. And we thought it was going to be domestic travel, but after traveling internationally, we thought, yeah, like we're hooked, let's sell it all and let's do this full time.
So I want to break down some of the elements involved in being a full-time digital nomad family, especially with a two-year-old who's growing up while traveling the world. And I think the first thing that I want to talk about is the educational component of it. Can you explain the concept of world schooling? What is that all about? How did you come across it? And what does it mean?
The universe is so serendipitous because I've always known that I wanted to do this. I wanted to teach my kids through travel, but I didn't realize that there was a term for this. There was a whole community around this. And I started talking about wanting to travel because at the time I was actually doing more food blogging. So I was a vegan food blogger. And one of my followers was, hey, I'm going to invite you to this group called World Schoolers. And I was like, what is this? And she was like, these are other families who also travel with their children as well. And I think that they're going to be a great resource for you. So I ended up reaching out in that community and I said, hey, does anybody play around with this idea of living in your home country for part of the year, but part of the year you travel? And if you do that, like logistically, how do you even do that? And I had so many families comment on how they do it. But one family in particular had talked about Boundless Life. What I really loved about that particular program and why we were continuing to do it now is that it provides education for our daughter, and they teach in the Finnish Montessori style. So she's very independent. It's all about giving them the agency over their learning experience. And that's really important to me because I feel we're kind of being conditioned by going to traditional school. And I just really want her to learn the things that she's interested in. And also too, not feeling rushed. Like I talked to a lot of other people who have kids maybe a year or two older than her, and they're talking about all these things that they need to be learning. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is so advanced. They're only 4 or 5. And I just really want her to enjoy her learning experience and being able to go outside and play and just be a kid and enjoy that time. So, and Boundless does offer that. And so, you know, people do world schooling in all different types of ways. It might be a world schooling hub that they meet up for where it's, you know, maybe a month, 2 or 3 months. But one of the things I really like about Boundless is, you know, it's 3 months at a time, or now they offer the 4-week program. So you can kind of bounce in and out of it as you need to. And it's nice because you can still keep a home base, but you can go spend 3 months in a different country and still be supported and have community around you.
Well, let's definitely talk a little bit more about Boundless Life and what they are up to and what they offer. You know, it was really interesting for me reading through their whole offering because I have done a number of work travel programs. As a single nomad, I have patronized companies like Remote Year, for example. And I did a Remote Year program back in 2016. And this is a program where the company Remote Year organizes a 12-month round the world itinerary for remote professionals. And then you just pay a monthly fee and they take care of all of your accommodations. You live in a different city every month for 12 months on 4 continents. They take care of your co-working space access. They take care of all your flights between the places. And it's basically like turnkey digital nomading with a community built in. And when I did that in 2016 to 2017, it was really interesting because I was literally talking with the people that were involved at the high level, the executives of that company, And I said, you know, the next big move in this space is going to be to create this for families. And I said, if you guys were to do that, if you guys don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And they're going to create this, but they're going to add an education component so that the kids can have a social component, they can have an education component, and they can have a childcare component. Whoever does that is going to like crush, because all of these nomads in 2016 that are living this life, they're going to want to continue doing it, but with kids. And you guys don't currently cater to that. So whoever creates that is going to crush. Like, I literally had that conversation in 2016. And then I see what Boundless Life is doing. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is so great. They jumped on that because it was so clear that there was such a need for that. But for folks that have never heard of Boundless Life, can you share a little bit more about the details of what they offer and then what your experience as a family has been like with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially what they offer is, I like to call it, they offer slow travel packages for families in a way that is turnkey. So when you show up to the destination of your choice, you get furnished housing, you also have education for your child, and then you also have access to a co-working center. And then there's also local staff that's on the ground there to support you as well. And you're traveling with other families during your cohort. So if you choose a 3-month or a 4-week cohort, you might be, you know, 10, 20 different families will be on your cohort. But it's really nice because there's events that, you know, are sponsored through Boundless Life during your stay. So where you might meet up with other moms or dads for lunch or birthday parties for the kids. And then also two different excursions that you can sign up for, very similar to like a cruise ship where you can sign up for an excursion. Yeah, it's just, it's been such a great experience for us. And we've done Portugal. We've also done Syros, Greece. And now we are going to be doing Bali this summer with them.
Can you talk a little bit, just for folks that are curious about how the actual education component works? And I know they have obviously different levels. Your daughter, of course, is 2, but they do education all the way up to 12 or so. But can you talk a little bit about it? Because you had a really nice blog post where you broke out a bunch of the different aspects of how they structure things in terms of connection time and mastery time and quest time and nature time and cultural immersion and endeavor time and these sort of pieces. So for parents or maybe expecting parents who are interested in doing this with young kids, what is that educational experience look like? And what have you found as a parent watching that?
I think one of the things that I really love about Boundless, although they have incredible pillars for the kids and just really getting them immersed in nature and immersed into the local culture, one of the things I love is that even though there's different levels, so it goes all the way up to 12, I know that they're going to be launching their Trailblazer program soon, which will be for teenagers. But right now it only goes up to 12. But one of the things that I really like about it is that they merge the kids in the schooling program. So there's a lot of times where the older kids are with the younger kids. One of the things I think is just really beautiful to see that's just so natural and innate for kids is their ability to care for each other. And the older kids are just hypersensitive and aware to the younger kids. And just the way that they care for them, or they're watching out for them, they're guiding them. Like, it's just, it's so sweet. And it's something I've never seen before because, you know, normally most of the time the kids aren't interacting with each other if they're in different grade levels. And so that's been really amazing. And also for, at least for our daughter, it's been great for her development because she's around, you know, kids that are 4 and 5, 6 years old. And she's talking a lot earlier than a lot of other kids because she's just been exposed to being able to have conversation with the older kids. So that's been really amazing. And the teachers are just absolutely incredible. The staff is just so caring and they really love and they're passionate about what they do.
Well, I know Portugal is one of your all-time favorite countries, and I as well have spent many months in Portugal. I try to go through probably every year. I was just there this past year for a little bit. I have many friends and many things that I love about Portugal, but I would love to hear from your perspective, especially as a family traveling in Portugal. First of all, when you did the Boundless Life thing, it was interesting for me to read that you were not in Lisboa. You were based in Sintra, which is really interesting. So tell folks a little bit about Sintra and how that was to be based there, but also some of the other places you've been in Portugal and why the country is so special to you.
Oh my goodness. Portugal is absolutely home for me. I have never felt somewhere that has just spoken to my soul in a way that Portugal has. And one of the things we also like too about Boundless is they like to typically pick locations that are close enough to some of the main cities, but far enough for you to feel like a local. So Sintra is about a 45 minute, an hour train ride outside of Lisbon. And it's basically where royalty used to put their palaces and their castles. And so it feels like you are literally living in a fairy tale town because you look out your window and you see three different castles and it's just so absolutely stunning. And what we just loved is that we could just easily take a quick train ride in to go to Lisbon or also to Cascais, which is right on the water. It's a beautiful little sea town. And we also love that we could easily get to Porto and to the Algarve by taking the train. So the metro system is amazing there. But also one of the things that we really loved just as families, as the Portuguese are just some of the nicest people, just genuinely kind people that you will ever meet. And there were so many times that we were just met with just acts of kindness that people didn't expect anything from us, maybe didn't even speak any English. But one thing in particular I remember happening was Zora, our daughter, she was having a meltdown on the train. And the lady next to me, she didn't speak any English at all, but she saw that I was struggling as a mom, just, you know, trying to console her on the train ride. And she offered to take her and to have her look out the window. And, you know, it was the kindest thing, but we were met with that time and time and time again there. And I also really love just how much they value family and children. Every time we were in line, whether it be for a restaurant or checking out at the grocery store or buying clothes at a store, we were met with, you know, you have a child, you should go front of the line. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And nobody was upset that we were going to the front of the line because they recognized that we had a small child. And that's just a courtesy for them. It's just the norm. And after being there and being so stressed as a new mom in the US, I thought, this is how it should be. This is how we should be valuing children and mothers and families.
Well, I also want to ask you about your experience living on a Greek island. Can you talk about how that was as a family?
Yeah, very similar to Portugal, I feel like, especially because Syros, Greece, it's about 45 minutes of a ferry ride from Mykonos and about a 2.5 hour ferry ride from Athens. But it's one of the only islands that has more of a city feel. A lot of the other islands feel like a traditional Greek island, but Syros is actually the capital of the Cyclade Islands. So it does really feel like more of a metropolitan city, but you still get that island feel. And one of the things we really loved about Syros was that it was just one of the most amazing locations. It's a unicorn location. It's got everything you need within a 10 to 15 minute walking distance. You can easily rent a car for 35 euros a day, go to all the different beaches that are there. You can hop on the ferry and go to Mykonos, hop on the ferry, go to Santorini. And the people are so kind because it's such a small island as well. Everybody knows each other. And one of the things that I will never forget, we were walking in the square that they have there at night. And it was probably about 9 or 10 o'clock. And kids were just out playing. They had a movie projected out on the square for families. The parents were sitting around the square having wine and beer and coffee at the cafes around the square. And I just thought, wow, like this is such a safe place. I've never experienced this before, except for being at like Disney World. That I felt that type of joy and excitement when you go on Main Street. And this was just a regular Saturday night in Syros. And it's one of the reasons why we're going back in April. So we're super excited about it.
Well, I also want to ask you about traveling as a vegan family. I know food is a big thing in your life and it's very important to you. And so for vegan folks, do you have any travel tips and can you share some of your experiences as a vegan traveler in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, the best thing that we do, we use Happy Cow just like most vegan travelers. And also too, when we're planning our own accommodations, we try to look and see where the top restaurants are vegan, vegetarian friendly restaurants available. And we try to plan our stay around that. So we do a lot of planning ahead of time. So that helps a lot. And also too, one of the reasons why I think we really do really like European destinations is because they tend to have a lot of vegan options. Even when we were in Ortona, Italy, which is a small little medieval town right outside of Florence in Tuscany. And we were surprised that they even had a lot of vegan options just in the small town as well too. So I just think Europe is just light years ahead, unfortunately, of the US. And so it is really easy to be vegan or vegetarian as well. So it just takes a little bit more planning for sure, but there's much more options than you would actually think, especially now, I feel like, because people are much more open and aware to sustainability when it comes to animal agriculture.
What have been some of the top vegan food experiences around the world? Are there any particular places or moments or locations that come to mind that you want to shout out?
Honestly, Portugal really surprised me. I think if you're a foodie, Lisbon and Porto are incredible destinations just for food in general. And one of the things my husband and I could not get over when we were in Lisbon was how all of the restaurants, their vibe and aesthetic matches the food. And there's so much thought that's like put into your overall experience. And I'm such a foodie. So I think that that's why Portugal is so high on my list, because they just do it right when it comes to the aesthetic and the food. It's incredible.
I want to take just 1 minute out to let you know that in addition to hosting The Maverick Show, I am also the co-founder of Maverick Investor Group, a real estate brokerage that helps you buy turnkey rental properties in the best U.S. real estate markets from anywhere. So these are single family homes, sometimes 2 to 4 unit properties, and they're either brand new or fully renovated, and they already have tenants and local property management in place. So you get all the benefits of owning the deeded real estate, the physical house, the hard asset, without the headaches of being the landlord or the rehabber or needing to live near the property. So I want to offer you a free consultation if that sounds interesting to you. To learn more about it, you can just go to themaverickshow.com/consult. And now, back to the episode. Well, one of the other things I want to ask you about that I've really appreciated about your content is you make some of your content, particularly for the Black community, the African American community, and you'll talk about, here's how I felt in terms of safety as a Black woman in this location or that location. And as you're traveling around the world, you do a lot of that. Can you share a little bit about, at this point in your journey, some of your reflections on navigating anti-Blackness globally and what you've experienced in the world compared to the United States, for example?
Yeah. And you know, it actually was really interesting because when I started looking into this on TikTok, I remember going to some Black creators, their pages as expats, and someone, and I can't remember who the creator was, but they had mentioned our experience as Black travelers is very different than that of a white travel blogger. And I never thought about that, but I almost thought about it as like, that's such actually a positive thing, because a lot of times when you're traveling and you've got people in the service industry or the hospitality industry, they tend to be people of color. And there's this thing of you can relate and the experience is actually really positive. And I just never thought about that. Wow, there's not a lot of representation or perspective of how our travel experiences as Black travelers or even Black expats living abroad. And one of the things that's really hard to convey to African Americans who have not traveled abroad is that the world is not a scary place. And honestly, I've experienced more racism and more anxiety being in the US than I ever have abroad. And there are times where, you know, you might get stares, but I feel like that's more because you're in a local area, especially like in Greece. They call them the neighborhood grandmas, you know, they know everybody and they know everything about everybody. So if you're new coming in, they're going to stare at you, but it's nothing to be offended by. It's just they don't know who you are. I have found that being Black abroad has been a really incredible experience. And honestly, if anybody has the chance to do it, they should, just to experience it, because it's actually way more peaceful abroad to be Black than it is to be in the United States.
Well, I also want to ask you about your lessons and reflections and maybe even tips at this point for traveling with a toddler. I feel like there's a lot of parents that I know when they have kids that age, they're like, when they get older, then we'll travel with them. You have been traveling full time with a toddler. And I want to ask you for lessons, reflections, but also tips for parents who are considering it with perhaps a toddler at that age.
I would say go for it. And the reason why I say that is because when you wait till they're older, they have their own interests and passions and things that they want to do. They want to have their friends around them. And I feel like this is the perfect age, especially even before them being a toddler. Like, they're so mobile. You just take them with you. So much easier. You got to take a few more things with you as far as stuff and packing, but it was actually easier to travel with our daughter before she started really walking and talking. And now it's even still a great opportunity for us to travel with her. And there's a few different things that we have. We are invested in our Amazon Fire tablet for her, which has been amazing because we download books and games and videos for her. And I mean, it can keep her occupied for hours, honestly, especially on those long haul flights that we have to do. I mean, it's been a really great experience. And I feel like one of the things that I was worried about when I became pregnant, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose out on my dreams to travel the world. And what I have found is by traveling with my daughter, I now get to see the world in a very different perspective, because to see her interact with locals or to see her, you know, one of the things we always do is we always look for the moon wherever we are. And just those little things that she gets to experience, or the new foods in different countries. And it's something that I wouldn't have appreciated, because for her, everything is new, you know? And so I just get to experience her experiencing travel, and it's more memorable and even more special that way.
That is so lovely. I want to also now ask you about your path to becoming a professional content creator. You have now over 300,000 something followers on social media across your channels and everything else. You have brand deals. You have all sorts of things going on. Can you share the path to becoming the digital nomad mom on social media that you are now?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, because people see me now and I'm like, oh, like if you could have seen me 2017 trying to figure this out, because it is really tough. And I think people see travel content creators or food creators and it seems like it's an overnight thing, but it's really not. There's been so much that I've had to learn over the years, from photography to videography to learning the ever-changing algorithms, and also still being able to figure out how do I authentically be myself and tell my story or stand up for the things I believe in, even if they're not popular things to be in support of. So it's been definitely a journey, but I started first wanting to do food blogging. My friend and I, when I had moved to Austin, I thought, wow, Austin is such a cool place for foodies. And she was a foodie. And so we started a food blog together. And then I ventured off on my own, doing my own food blog as a vegan food blogger. And it really wasn't until I became a mom that I really started to get into more of the travel space. I had kind of introduced it a little bit on my vegan social media pages before that, because I thought there's definitely a niche here for vegan travel that's not being fulfilled. So I kind of started talking about travel then, but it really wasn't until I became a mom that I was like, oh my gosh, get me out of the US. How do I do this? And I'm going to just voice my frustrations and concerns. And it really wasn't for me when I started my TikTok, it really wasn't about creating content on there. It was really just about voicing my frustrations as a new mom living in America. And then it quickly snowballed because I'd been in the travel industry. I've worked in travel and hospitality for the past 10 years. And it really kind of started this content around, well, let me just share my knowledge of what I know and just help people, whether that's finding better deals for hotels and vacation rentals, or what visa programs are out there for people to consider, or what countries are offering people to move there for free, you know? So I just started creating a lot of resources for people, and my page just honestly took off. And, you know, I started getting all these opportunities, and I just slowly transitioned from doing food really to just being primarily travel. So I do post about, you know, my food adventures every now and again, but for the most part, it's all family travel.
I want to ask at this point, and in today's social media landscape, what tips or leverage points would you recommend for people that are trying to grow a social media audience?
I know it's so cliche, but just being yourself is the most important, like figuring out who you are, what content resonates with you, what content are you passionate about, trying different things. Like, I think people are so worried that they have to stick to one thing when they first start out. And that is true, but you're going to have to kind of throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And once you start seeing that the algorithm likes certain types of content, then you can start making more of that because you know that there's an interest there. And that's exactly what happened for me. I made all different types of videos on TikTok until I really started honing in on wanting to do digital nomadism and travel. And that's what really stuck. And that's what I started making more and more content of. And also to the power of series and creating a formula for yourself, because humans love repetition. And so if you can create a formula for all of your videos that gives people this sense of comfort or familiarity, your page is going to grow because they know what to expect from you, even though the content in the video is always different. If you have the same hook or the same ending, it really does help people to connect with you more because you're giving them a safe space almost because they know what to expect. And then also too, just like thinking about what topics are trending. And I think at least in today's social media world, I feel like it's really about having, you know, discourse and discussion with people. And that really actually boosts your engagement, because if people have something to talk about in the comments, the algorithm sees that as, oh, people are engaging with this. It's keeping people on the platform for longer. So let's push it out for more people to see. And I think that that has a really big push for people to grow their content and to get to their target audience faster.
Well, I also want to ask you about monetization. At this point, as a professional content creator, can you share any lessons or tips for folks that are looking to monetize their content?
Absolutely. If they want to monetize their content, I really feel like it's really important to talk about the brands and the products and the services that you already use and you're passionate about. And I know that there's a lot of controversy about this in the influencer realm because everybody wants to get paid. And I totally agree with that. But at the same time, while you're getting started, being able to showcase how you're passionate about a brand and also to interacting with that brand's page or talking about their products, you have to be able to show what you can offer a brand as well too. And that's the biggest advice that I can give to people is, you know, start talking about those products and putting product placement in your page so that when brands are ready to work with you, they see that you're capable of being able to talk about their product in a way that resonates with your audience and that your audience is interested.
And there's a middle ground too, right? Which is that a lot of these brands have affiliate programs that virtually anyone can sign up for. And so you can do that and you can still get some level of compensation for talking about what you like and then giving an affiliate link there. And then do you have any other maybe monetization avenues or channels beyond just landing a brand deal? Are there any other ways that you've monetized your content or that you would recommend people think about it? Should there be multiple streams of income from your content? How do you think about a content ecosystem?
Yes, I think it's so important to start creating your own products and services, especially as you create a community, you have a loyal following, being able to create something that resonates with your audience, but also is in connection to your content. So for me, I've been investing in starting doing digital products, selling courses, ebooks for my community, also doing consultations and coaching for people who want to start becoming digital nomads or want to start their journey in living abroad. So there's so many different avenues that I have as far as to create location independent streams of income. And that's really what I teach my clients as well, is, you know, how do you turn your passion into creating something that can provide you with income and multiple streams of income that will allow you to be location independent.
Well, the other thing I want to ask you about is your choice, which I have so appreciated about your content, to use your platform to speak out about social justice issues, human rights issues in the world. And I think that is so important. And that is one of the things that drew me personally to your content and to you as a person. And I'm wondering if you could just talk about that, because I think there's a lot of people that don't do that. And right now, as we're recording this, the genocide is going on in Palestine. That is one of the issues that you have spoken out about on your platform. And I'm wondering maybe if we could just start with that and talk a little bit about that. Can you share a little bit about your journey in learning about the Palestinian struggle and the genocide that's going on and your decision to speak out about that on your platform?
I was so naive to everything that had been going on for the past 75 years. And I think many people have been in the same position of just kind of being in the dark about what's been going on. And it truly is the power of social media, and why I tell people that social media is life-changing, because anybody can go viral now today, and it means that your life can change overnight. And I think that the information that we've been able to get about what's happening from people who are living in Gaza is changing the world. It's changing the way we treat each other, the way that we look at life, the way that we show empathy for each other. I think this is a turning point for humanity, even more so than COVID. I think COVID was an awakening for a lot of us, but I feel this is really shaking people to their core, because we've never seen something like this and had access to see it right from the tip of our fingers. And also that the truth hasn't been able to be shared like this before. And so when I was on TikTok, I started seeing all of the videos and getting the information and educating myself and following Palestinian creators and really understanding what was going on. And I think, honestly, what was even more challenging for me was that I would look out at the sea in Greece and go, I'm just a sea away. And I think in America, we feel so far removed from what's going on. But there, I was really shaken by that. This is happening. I could drive there. Like, that's how close this is happening to me. And I really wanted to speak out about it. And I felt I would be disingenuous as a travel creator to talk about places and people, but turn a blind eye when things like this are happening in the world. And I just think, as a global citizen, you can't just always show the good. You also have to show the struggles that people are also having. And also, too, just being able to travel and meet so many different types of people and cultures, and just having more empathy. This travel does that to you. You just have more empathy because you know what it's like to be in a position where you need help, where you can't read a sign, where you can't you don't know how to do your laundry. It's just simple things, you know, when you don't know the language and people are willing to help you, not because they expect something from you, but because they're just good people. And you realize there's so much good in the world and there's so many good people. And yeah, like, why not? Why not speak out about it? And I know people are afraid to speak out about it, but I hope that there's enough people speaking out about it now that it's made it safer for people who either didn't have enough information at the time or didn't want to feel ostracized for speaking out about this genocide that's going on.
Well, I have appreciated your content and you so very much for everything that you have been doing on that. We, of course, are going to link up all of your social media handles and everything else in the show notes so that folks can follow you and come into your world, because you are doing really, really important stuff. I want to ask you a few final questions before we wrap this up and move into the lightning round. Just reflecting on the impact that travel has had overall, and I think I'm going to ask you three questions, but I want to kind of go in this order. I want to ask you, just personally reflecting on you as a person, when you think about Kara and the reflections that these experiences have had on you. The second question I want to ask you is about how it's impacted your relationship and your marriage, your relationship with your husband. What impact has there been there for the travels? And then the third question is about your daughter and what impact you think the travel has had or will have on your daughter as she grows up. So those are kind of the three areas, and you can take them in any order you want.
Thank you for asking this. This is actually really interesting for me to think about. I think what the impact that travel has had on me is actually less of the travel, but the grit I have had to have to make this life a possibility. And I keep telling myself, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, because it's been really hard. It's really hard to, even as exciting as it sounds, to like, we sold it all and we're traveling the world. Like, it's really hard not having a home base sometimes. And it's hard parting with your things. And you constantly are doubting yourself, because this is just not normally how people live life. So you're constantly, am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the right thing? It's really tough to just like stand in your truth truth sometimes and really honor what it is that you need to be happy in life and to put your happiness first, because your friends and family may doubt you as far as the decisions that you're making, or put their own fear and doubt in your mind, and just really having to center yourself and calm your mind and know that like you're making the right decisions for yourself and your family. So that's definitely something that I've learned through this experience with my partner. I think I've just learned of how strong we are as a couple, as a partnership, because he left his job to be able to be a stay-at-home dad and for us to travel, and just how supportive he is of me and in my business as a content creator. It has really just improved our relationship overall, because we just see how much support we have for each other. And also, like, we're with each other a lot now because before he was working a lot as a restaurant manager. So we're together like 24/7 now. And you really are like, okay, I really like you because we're in each other's space. And too, when you're traveling in small spaces too, sometimes like we were in this small little hotel in London and it wasn't even big enough for the two of us, let alone a 3-person family. So you really start to realize how much you truly love each other. And I feel for our daughter, what it has really given her, I just feel she's just going to have this love for life, because she's going to look back and we're just creating the coolest baby book for her. And she's going to look back and just go, wow, my parents were wild. They did all this with me while I was a toddler. This is crazy. But I just love how much fun she's having on our travels and all the things that she's seeing. And at the end of the day, though, my goal is I just want to teach her to be kind and to care for people. And I hope that what she sees in our travels and how many people have helped us and have just cared for us simply because we're human beings too, that she will take that with her for the rest of her life and really always put humanity first. So that's what I hope we aim to teach her in our travels.
Well, I think that is an amazing place to end the main portion of this interview. And at this point, Kara, are you ready to move in to the lightning round?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm excited.
Let's do it. The lightning round. All right, what is one book maybe that has significantly impacted you over the years you'd most recommend that people should read?
The book that honestly changed my life and probably the trajectory into traveling is Eat, Pray, Love. It's one of my favorite movies, but the book is even better.
Who is one person currently alive today that you've never met, that you'd most love to have dinner with? Just you and that person for an evening of dinner and conversation.
I would have to say she's also an influencer. Her name is Nabella. I think she's just at Nabella. And I love the brand that she has created for her and her family. And she has come from nothing and parents of immigrants. And I would love to just sit down and talk with her because I'm obsessed.
Carol, what is one travel hack that you use that you can recommend to people?
Oh my gosh, travel credit cards all day long, because they have so many perks and we just pay for everything on our travel credit cards because we have to pay for them anyway, so we might as well get the points and miles.
Knowing everything that you know now, if you could go back and give one piece of advice to your 18-year-old self, what would you say to 18-year-old Kara?
Dump that boy and buy a one-way ticket.
That is amazing. All right, Kara, of all the places you have now traveled, what are three of your favorite destinations you would most recommend other people should definitely check out?
For sure, Portugal, top on the list. Greece as well. And a place that I really liked a lot that shocked me was Berlin, Germany.
What are your top three bucket list destinations? These are places you have not yet been, highest on your list, you would most love to see.
Switzerland, Japan, and Dubai.
I have been to all three of those. So when you are ready to plan those trips, Kara, hit me up. I have some great recommendations for you because those are three very incredible places. All right, Kara, we have now come to the most important question of this interview. I'm about to ask you to name your top five hip-hop MCs of all time. But before I do that, can you just share a little bit about what hip hop music means to you and why you love hip hop.
My mom, she just played all different types of music for us. But I feel like I always really gravitated either to like really ethereal music or hip hop. I'm either in a calm state or I need to be motivated. And that's like what hip hop does for me. It just puts me in this very like motivating trance. So I'd have to say my top five, Missy Elliott, of course, she is the GOAT. I'm going to have to say Meg Thee Stallion because she's from Houston. She's a Texas girl. And I'm also going to have to say Mary J. Blige. I just think that she is so phenomenal. And I actually got to see her perform a few years ago, actually before COVID in Houston. And she was incredible. Then I definitely have to say every party in high school, E-40. And also too, I absolutely love him. He has so much influence into what Beyonce has been doing recently. And his name is Toby. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name. Toby Nwengwe, I believe it is. But he's from Houston. He's an up-and-coming rapper. The visuals of his videos are stunning. And him and his wife, I mean, they integrate their family in everything that they do. He's such a family man and we're obsessed with him.
Amazing. All right, Kara, I want you to let folks know, first of all, how they can find you, how they can follow you on social media, and also let folks know about this digital nomad course that you have, how people can work with you, and how you want people to come into your world.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody's interested, they can follow me over at Kara Celeste West. I'm on Instagram, on TikTok, and on YouTube. And then if anybody is interested in kind of breaking into the digital nomad world or wants help finding remote work or moving abroad, just not sure where to start, that's what I'm here for, to help with. They can book a session with me just clicking that link in my bio on any of those platforms, and you can book a call with me as well as sign up for any of my courses. And the great thing is I also offer an affiliate code for any of the courses. So if people want to sign up to be an affiliate for the course, they can, and they can start earning money right away.
We are going to link all of that up in the show notes. So folks can just go to one place at themaverickshow.com. Go to the show notes for this episode. There you're going to find all of Kara's social media handles, the link to her course, and everything else that we have discussed in this episode. Kara, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Just a final reminder to subscribe to the Maverick Show's Monday Minute email newsletter. No long articles here, just 3 bullet points that I put together for you and drop into your email inbox every Monday that you can consume in under 60 seconds. You can subscribe at themaverickshow.com/newsletter. Again, that's themaverickshow.com/newsletter.
Be sure to visit the show notes page at themaverickshow.com for direct links to all the books, people, and resources mentioned in this episode. You'll find all that and much more at themaverickshow.com. Learn how Maverick Investor Group can help you buy cash-flowing rental properties in the best U.S. real estate markets, regardless of where you live. Schedule a free phone consult today at themaverickshow.com/consult. Now you can buy rental properties with tenants and local property management in place, so you don't have to be a landlord or a rehabber. To get your questions answered and discuss how Maverick Investor Group can help you meet your real estate investing goals, schedule your free phone consult today at themaverickshow.com/consult.
If you like podcasts, you will love audiobooks, and you can get your first one for free at themaverickshow.com/audiobook. Whether you want the latest best-selling novels or books on investing, business, or travel, try your first audiobook for free at themaverickshow.com/audiobook.